Yeah. Let's get this party started, Doc.
What?
Love Talk Radio.
Here we go. You know the drill. You know the drill, Rob. You know we got to get this party started. What?
Wake up, everybody. The night is still
wake
young,
up,
baby.
Rabadoo! Yeah. You know the drill.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
12 Man Sports is kicking off. Oh, welcome once again.
Oh, yeah.
Sports. Hey, I got to make sure everyone's
Dr.
awake.
Dr. Dre, you're going to have to work on your rapping skills, bro.
What? Oh, I got some skills, man. I'll drop some a little bit later on, too. But for those that, once again, that are checking in, today, I love it, Rob. Today is Wednesday, June the 13th. Yes, way to kick it off. Winning games, all that fun stuff. Talking sports with the 12th man, Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. We have an explosive impact show for you guys tonight. They're checking in. Once again, for those that want to join us, I'll give the number and I'll set the table as always. I'll let Rob give the number, watch the table, what we're going to talk about tonight. So first and foremost, we're going to talk about recapping game number one of the NBA Finals, which is a very good game for the OKC, for the Thunder. And we're going to talk about some NBA mock draft highlights, and this is Robert Ford's time to shine. Maybe we'll get to Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley, some thoughts about that, even though we're not really big boxing guys. But obviously, we got to talk about that. It was a big controversy. And if we have some time, we'll jump into the NFL happenings. But, Rob, I'll let you give out the number and all that fun stuff for those who want to check in and Twitter and all that fun stuff, sir.
Once again, people, join us. Call us 424-243-9519. The lines are wide open. Join in. Talk about the game from last night. We're going to talk about your NBA teams and what we think they may do in the NBA draft. We got a lot to talk about there. And even we can throw in a little football, what your teams might do in the NFL this upcoming season. So, you know, not a whole lot happening in the sports world, but we're going to still make it a fun night. So make sure you all call in. Like us on Facebook, 12 Man Sports. Follow us on Twitter, 12 Man Sports. We're always releasing lots of updates on a daily basis. So, once again, Dr. Dre, what's happening with you tonight?
Been a good night as always, and thank you once again for setting that. And let's jump right into the first topic and kind of recapping what's been going on with game number one of the NBA Finals. And I think we still have differing views about who's going to win this, and I don't know if you picked the Heat to win, and I've been trying to stay steadfast the whole time going with OKC. And to use a boxing analogy, if you were watching the game last night, it kind of felt like the Thunder kind of were kind of like a boxer, kind of taking all those punches in the first couple of games, kind of seeing what the Heat had. I think they were kind of sitting back, seeing exactly what the Heat were going to do as far as the matchups and stuff like that. They were kind of taking a lot of punches. And then near the end, they just kind of like unloaded and kind of did their thing too. So I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts as far as the game. And I don't know what else LeBron could do. He had a pretty good game, 30 points, couple of rebounds. You know, I think he had like six assists or something crazy like that. But he did very well. And I'm not sure what else he could have done to overcome. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, if you look at my Facebook post, I actually predicted OKC to win the series in seven. But my heart is pulling for the Heat. So my mind is telling me, of course, OKC is going to win the series. But personally, I'm pulling for the Miami Heat. I still think we're going to have a long series here. We just had one game last night. And it was kind of expected. Most of the times what happened in the NBA, when a team comes off of a long, grueling series, they really go into game one of the next series with tired legs. And you can really kind of see that in the second half last night with the Miami Heat. I mean, OKC just ran all over them in the second half, fresh legs. They just looked more explosive, and they just look like they have better athletes, which they do. They do have better athletes than Heat. And, you know, it's to LeBron James, man, I tell you, I don't think the guy, he leaves Cleveland. Now he's almost in a similar situation. Right before our eyes, Dwayne Wade is aging. And it looked like his body is wearing down. He's just not the same player. You know, he's not the sidekick that I think LeBron James thought he was going to be playing with. And, I mean, every night, I mean, he's just 8 out of 21, 7 out of 30. He's having horrible shooting percentages. He's taking horrible shots. And I also thought the Miami Heat settled for a lot of jump shots last night, too. They did take a lot of good shots. And they're not a their stars, other than Chris Bosh, is not a jump shooting team. And, you know, that's one of the differences between LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is an outstanding shooter and an outstanding scorer. I think LeBron James has a better all-around game than Kevin Durant, but he's not the shooter and scorer that Durant is. And Durant, of course, comes through in the clutch. So I think, you know, if you're LeBron James, you got to be like, I think he's got to be like, this cannot be happening. And it's almost like I said, you know, this OKC team could possibly win as many as 4 to 6 championships if this team stays together. I mean, Durant is 23, Westbrook and Harden, 22 each. I mean, this is unheard of for a team with their main stars that young competing for the NBA Finals. Now, you know, LeBron took the Cavaliers to the Finals in 07. I think he was 22 or 23 at the time. But once again, he was on a team that had no one else on that team in 07, and the Spurs just swept the Cavs in 07. I mean, Durant is getting there. He's got Westbrook. He's got Harden. He's got Ibaka. What a great job. You got to give Sam Presti, the general manager of OKC, a ton of credit for building this team. And that this guy has got weapons. You can't just look to stop Durant because they have so many weapons that they can beat you with. And this team, like I said, looks like they have an opportunity to possibly win anywhere from 4 to 6 championships in the next 10 years. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, they right now have the best roster of any team in the NBA. And like I said, I still think we're going to have a long series, but I still like OKC to win it.
Wow. You heard it here first. Robert Ford picking OKC. For those who want to call in and give your thoughts, obviously the number to call in is 424-243-9519. And don't forget to tweet us at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And also like us on Facebook. A couple things I want to mention, too, about what you were talking about, too, Rob, is that I don't know if it's something with coaching, too. It seems like, and they mentioned it in the broadcast, that Miami has a shorter bench. And, you know, due to, like you said, if they had, like, a long first series or a grueling series with the Celtics, not sure why you would shorten your bench. And that's something that, you know, I don't know if the guys, I think some guys maybe with some injuries or something like that. But when you have a team like, you know, OKC, and you know they're going to get a lot of those guys. They're going to bring in James Harden, who won the six-man award. And as you mentioned, the only thing that seems like that can stop the Thunder is the Thunder. Like, hopefully, you know, Russell Westbrook won't get a big head and kind of think he's kind of bigger than Durant, and they'll keep that unit together. But now I guess we can talk about some of the coaching, too. And I don't know if Spoelstra is kind of a good coach for this team, too. And I don't know if that's, you know, if they do win, I don't know if Pat Riley's going to come down and kind of do his thing. And then, as you mentioned, as far as, you know, Dwayne Wade, hopefully he's just kind of going through some injuries and he's not kind of declining that much, because I still think he's a dynamic player too. So I know I kind of hit a lot of things at you as far as your thoughts as far as the coaching aspect of it. And why do you think that, you know, the Heat coach decided to kind of shorten his bench?
Well, I think there's two things here. The Heat don't have a deep bench. Their roster, outside of the Miami's big three, their roster is pretty flawed. I mean, you have Mario Chalmers and Shane Battier and Haslam that's probably stepping up. I mean, really, you got 6 players. Mike Miller, I mean, this guy is a joke. If his outside shot is not falling, he doesn't even deserve to be in the game. He can't guard anyone on OKC's team. He can't guard on anybody on anybody's team, let alone OKC. So if Mike Miller is going to be in the game, he's got shot. And if his shot is not falling, he's not worthy of being in the game. And it's just that simple. And the Heat, the reason why Spoelstra shortened his bench, just because the Heat doesn't have a bench. And this roster is pretty flawed. And that's the problem when you have a lot of your salary cap monies tied into three players. And the thing about OKC, Durant and Westbrook, they have their big contracts. Harden does not yet. So OKC might have a similar situation here if they give big money to Harden. And then they're probably going to miss out on possibly being able to pay some of their role players, depending on what kind of contract Durant has. Now, you know, LeBron James, Wade, and Bosch all took a little bit less than the max, but they're all still making pretty good money, and they're taking up most of the Miami salary cap space. There's a couple of weaknesses on this team. They lack an interior big man. I mean, that's huge. And they also are lacking a 6'7", 6'8", explosive wing player that they can put alongside LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And that's where they're getting beat here in this series. Well, you look at Cephalosha, you know, a guy who can play the wing. You look at Harden. Westbrook is 6'3", 6'4", but he's explosive and athletic. So outside of the big three, this Miami Heat roster is still pretty flawed. And but, you know, having LeBron James on your team, you know, usually helps you to cover up a lot of those kind of things. But it can only take you so far. It's not going to take you, you know, it's hard to win a championship like that. And, you know, this series is not over. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. And getting to Spoelstra and his coaching ability. I believe this about Spoelstra. I actually believe he's a great X's and O's coach. He's a great strategic, you know, coach. I don't know if he's a great motivator, but I think when it comes down to X's and O's and breaking down the game, I actually think he's pretty good. I think he's going to be a pretty good coach in this league for a long time, and I firmly believe that. I mean, I firmly believe if the Heat would have lost the last series, he would have got fired, but I still think somebody would have picked him up almost ASAP. You know, I think the Heat would have had to fire him just because of, you know, the situation at the end that people are expecting him to win. But I think he's a good coach, and I think he's going to be a good one for a long time, and he's fairly young.
Wow, some very interesting comments from Robert Ford about Eric Spoelstra. I did not expect that to come out. And like you said, that's why we want to talk about a lot of good things and what we bring to the table as far as 12-man sports. You know, like I said, the motivation factor, that's definitely part of it, being a good coach. And, you know, you want a little bit of both. And that's why I guess you call Phil Jackson the Zen Master. He does the motivation, and he's good at X's and O's and a triangle offense too. So we'll see how it plays out. And I agree with you as far as he would have been fired if he didn't produce in the next series. But, you know, next year, I don't know what's going to happen with the Heat, especially. We got to watch and see what's going to happen with the finals. If they don't win, I don't know what else to say about what's going on with LeBron. You have to go through your different things to overcome certain challenges. I think, and let me ask this question: Do you think that LeBron is closer now than he was, or was he closer with the Cavs? That's the next question too, because it could have gone either way, I'm sure.
Well, there's no question he's closer now. It's 2 years in a row he's made it to the finals. So, I mean, in Miami and Cleveland, he made it to the finals one time in 07, and he just basically carried that team. And so there's no question about it. He's closer now. I mean, Dwayne Wade, even though he may be slowing down, you still got some pieces in Wade and Bosch. I mean, there's some talks and rumors that you can trade Bosch straight up to Orlando for Dwight Howard. And if you put LeBron James with Dwight Howard next season, I mean, that just makes them the favorite going into next season, even with Durantula and Westbrook there in OKC. And, you know, so if that happens, you still got pieces to make your team better. And, and you can even make a case trading Wade and Bosch for Howard makes Orlando better. And you can easily make that case if you put those two guys together with some great outside shooters. And you're talking about you can make that team better right there. So you still have some pieces. He's still closer in Miami. Now, Cleveland was just so unsuccessful with just putting stars around him. And history has proven, you look at NBA champions, you have to have at least two superstars on your team to win. And in some cases, three. Or not necessarily three superstars, we need at least three stars. I mean, history has proven that in the NBA. I mean, you can go back to Bird, McHale, Parrish, Dennis Johnson, even the Dr. J, the Moses Malones of the world. You look at those teams right there. You look at Magic. You look at James Worthy, Kareem. Jordan had Pippen. And, you know, in the last three titles, he had Dennis Rodman. You could be one about Rodman, but that guy was a star. Stud.
Yeah.
Had a high basketball IQ, great rebounder. You know, Shaq and Kobe, you know, two superstars together. And even recently when the Lakers won titles, you had Shaq and Gasol and Bynum was playing at a high level. So you have to have at least two superstars on your team in order to win the championship. And he just didn't have that in Cleveland. I mean, and if you really go back and look at that 07 Cleveland Cavaliers team, I mean, it was LeBron James and a bunch of scrubs, and he took them to the finals. And
wow.
It was only his fourth year in the league.
Wow. Interesting. Like I said, I agree with you as far as you definitely have to have some players around you to make things a little bit better. And, you know, like I said, if you're the Heat, and this, I don't know how we turn it into this conversation, but if you're the Heat, obviously this draft has got to be pretty big for you to get those pieces around you, get some good free agents, and build that bench. You know, definitely make it so that, you know, like you said, have that in another explosive wing player to add for James to be at. You know, obviously they got some young players at the point. Get that center that they've been desperately missing and, you know, giddy up and let's see what they do because they definitely have to build that bench. And, you know, maybe Spoelstra will get another shot, too, and make it happen, too. But now you've kind of set the bar who you guys are competing against now, whether you're competing against, you know, obviously the Celtics are getting older, competing against the young team, the young guns of Durant and a fading L.A. team. But, you know,
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Well, I think OKC is the team they're going to have to measure themselves against. Cause,
absolutely. I agree.
A couple of things here regarding the Miami Heat here. The Eastern Conference next year is probably not going to be as strong. Derrick Rose is going to be out the first 2 to 3 months of the season. And, you know, even when he comes back, he probably won't be completely healthy into the following season. So you got to think the Bulls are going to have a step back there. And so I even with this current roster, the Heat will be favored to win the East next season. I mean, there's a chance. There's some talk about the Celtics are going to let Garnett and Ray Allen walk. And now there's a lot of rumors out there that the Lakers and the Spurs are going to be two teams contending for the services of Garnett. So you got to say the Celtics are going to be a little bit younger. They're going to keep Rondo and Pierce. So you got to say they might be a playoff team, but they're going to be a little younger. I think the two teams that may, two or three teams that may compete in the East is going to be the Pacers. I think the Hawks are the team that's going to be right there. And maybe the Knicks. Maybe the Knicks, but I still think those three teams will still be below the Heat. So, I mean, they'll still be the favorites to win the East, but I think if they want to win a championship, they're going to have to find a way to put together a roster that can beat Oklahoma City. And, you know, I've reported on our show a couple of weeks ago that Steve Nash will sign with the Miami Heat. I still believe that that's a strong possibility, and but I'm not sure that's what the Heat needs. I think Mario Chalmers has been playing extremely well. Nash is at the end of it. I think the Heat needs another strong athlete on the perimeter, and they need an athletic big man. I tell you what, if Fab Melo from Syracuse can fall to them in the latter part of the first round, I think Miami picks number 27, he would be the perfect choice for him. This guy, I think, could really help Miami. Right now, I have Fab Melo going number 26 to the Indiana Pacers, which they pick right before Miami at 27. So there's always that possibility. He's a big seven-footer. He's a space eater, can block shots. And I think this guy's got a lot of potential to really improve his game. And he's the kind of big body that the Miami Heat really needs.
Gotcha. Good analogy. Well, like I said, you know, real quick, I'm going to give the number out, 424-243-9519, for those who want to call in and kind of share your thoughts. And this is a natural transition. So, yeah, let's go ahead and transition directly into the mock draft. And, you know, like you said, I kind of agree with you as far as what's going down with Miami and a lot of their moves. I do think, though, having a Steve Nash, whether even if you get him for 1 or 2 years, that can definitely increase that team because, you know, having somebody with that type of basketball IQ can do nothing but help the Heat because that way, obviously, LeBron doesn't have to handle the ball and maybe Wade doesn't have to handle the ball as much as they do, even in a half-court set, too. So that's something to think about. In that aspect too, but as mentioned, let's go ahead and make that transition to the mock draft. And, Rob, I'm going to open up the floor to you. I don't know where you want to start. If you want to kind of recap your lottery selections or kind of move on to the second half or kind of where you want to go with this. We have about 10 minutes left in the show.
Well, let's mainly address some of the issues in the first round. Maybe next week we can talk a little bit about the second round. But maybe let's just address, we're about 2 weeks from the NBA draft. All of you all out there, June 28th is the NBA draft. Will be aired live on ESPN. So definitely tune in. And but, yeah, basically we can talk a little bit about the first round. We got some intriguing possibilities. I think we all know who the number one pick is going to be. The New Orleans Hornets will be selecting Anthony Unibrow Davis from Kentucky. He's a clear number one pick in this draft. He's probably the best, you know, prospect to enter the draft since Derrick Rose did in 08. And so this is a clear game changer on both ends of the floor. So I think it's a clear choice for number one. And number two is where it really is going to get interesting. A lot of people don't really know who the Charlotte Bobcats are going to take. Number one, the Charlotte Bobcats don't even have a coach right now. So it's going to be really interesting. Tomorrow they're going to be sitting down with Brian Shaw again. He's looking like he might be the leading candidate to take over, but they have narrowed it down to three choices: Brian Shaw, Jerry Sloan, and Quinn Snyder. I don't know if you all remember Quinn Snyder played at
Missouri?
Duke. Yes, he was head coach in Missouri. He's now the assistant coach for the Lakers under Mike Brown. So that's where he currently resides. And but those are the three finalists for the job. I'm getting vibes that it looked like Brian Shaw is going to be the front runner to get this job. And but that being said, getting back to the draft here, it's going to be one of three players for the Charlotte Bobcats: Thomas Robinson, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Bradley Beal. Sources are telling me that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is not a favorite of Michael Jordan. And,
wow.
Right now, I have Thomas Robinson going number two to Charlotte. He's a guy, an athletic power forward with toughness. There were a lot of NBA scouts concerned about his height. They wanted to know if he really was 6'9". And at the combine last week, he measured at 6'9". You know, with his arms stretched straight up in the air, his arm length gets him over about 7 feet. And so, he's got the length that teams are looking for. You know, ideally in today's NBA, you want your power forward to be about 6'10", 6'11". But if you're 6'9", and athletic like Thomas Robinson is, I think he has to be the guy for the Charlotte Bobcats here at the number two pick. That team is lacking toughness, and they need somebody to bang in the paint here. Looks like Kemba Walker is going to be the starting point guard. And they will have to find a two guard at some point. Maybe in free agency you can address that. But I think Thomas Robinson will be the pick here at number two over Kidd-Gilchrist and Bradley Beal.
Gotcha. And there's a couple players that I actually want to talk about here. And as we kind of skip into the second half of the draft too, and these are just personal questions too. And if anyone wants to definitely beat us or ask questions to Rob Ford, let us know. We'll definitely take care of you guys. There's two players I want to mention, and this is there's a thing that I want to talk about. I know you had looks like you have Deron Lamb dropping a little bit, dropping down. And I also want to get your thoughts on Draymond Green from Michigan State too, and kind of how you think he's going to fit into the NBA, because I keep hearing a lot of conflicting reports about him. I hear that he's a player that the Hawks are going to bring in as far as another guy, as well as another guy named Royce White, obviously for forward from Ohio State. But tell us a little bit about Draymond Green and your thoughts about how you think he's going to transition to the NBA.
Draymond Green is definitely a player that's going to be able to play and be a role player in the NBA. He's about 6'8". He can handle the basketball like a point guard, so he can almost play a little bit of point forward. He can contribute for others. But the interesting thing about Draymond Green is on offense, he can be a point forward for you. But on defense, he can guard the small forwards and the power forwards. So he's an intriguing prospect. You know, not a superstar level. He'll still be a role player in the NBA, but he's definitely a player that can come in and help some contending teams off the bench. And so he is going to be hotly, contested. You know, I could see him going as high as 20. I think his floor will be somewhere around 35, so he possibly could fall to the second round. But right now, I have him going 30th overall to Golden State, And in previous mock drafts, I've had them going somewhere around 27, 28. Right now, I have them going 30 to Golden State. And so, but I think right now his range is somewhere in that 20 to 35 range. But I definitely think this is a guy who's been well coached by Tom Izzo. And so he will be ready to play in the NBA. I think he'll be ready to play early. Like I said, he just doesn't have the superstar potential to get him in the lottery picks. So that's why he's probably going to be in that latter part of the first round. But definitely a player that will be able to help a team out. Now, Royce White, on the other hand, this guy is an intriguing prospect. He's 6'7". He's got long arms. He's really muscular. I think NBA scouts are liking to lose a little bit more weight to get him ready for the pro game up and down. But there is some concern with Royce White. You know, he shined at the combine in Chicago last week. But I don't know if you know this, but he has an anxiety disorder. He doesn't like to fly. And in the NBA, you're on planes almost every night, practically.
Yeah.
And so that's the scary thing. There are some NBA scouts that believe Royce White is a top 10 talent. But because of his anxiety disorder, he will fall probably into the 20s. I can't see him falling anywhere. I can't see him getting past Atlanta, as a matter of fact. I think if he's on the board at 23, Atlanta's going to take him. So I could see him going somewhere between 15 to 23. And I will say this. I'm going to say he can go as high as number 10 if a team feels comfortable with him with his anxiety disorder. I mean, like I said, talent-wise, he's a top 10 pick. But his anxiety disorder is scaring teams. He had a little bit of off-the-court trouble, too. But it seems as though he's handled that very well in interviews where NBA teams are comfortable with that. But are they comfortable with his anxiety disorder? But this guy's got a ton of potential. And right now, I have him going 21 in the Boston Celtics. And I can tell you this, if he's on the board for the Celtics will be thrilled, and they're going to have to try to find a way to just get him over the anxiety disorder. And the scary thing is, you know, he can take medicine for it, but he's sluggish when he takes the medicine. And so teams want him to be able to address this head on without having to take medicine for it. And so that's what a concern is with Royce White. Athletically, he's there. He can play in the NBA. There's no doubt about it. He can be a starter in the NBA for 10 to 12 years.
Good stuff. Man, Rob Ford is on it. So, once again, you guys got to definitely give him some props. And like I said, I'm inspired to certain questions to him, too. Rob, we got about 2 minutes and 14 seconds here as we count down into the final stuff, too. You know, tell us a little bit about John Jenkins. This is a guy from Vanderbilt. I keep hearing a lot about this guy as a sharpshooter. You got him going 27 to Miami. A lot of guys, and also I want to talk about Andrew Nicholson as well, and we'll get ready to wrap up and set the show for next week, too. So those are two guys I'd like to hear you talk about.
Yeah, Jenkins is definitely a sharpshooter. He's about 6'4", 6'5". You know, might be the best shooter in the draft. He's pretty close to it. I mean, and actually is another kind of player that Miami needs. When you have players like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade that can get penetration and draw double teams, you can kick it out to a sharpshooter. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why I have him going to Miami in the draft. But he's clearly one of the better shooters in the draft. May not be the most athletic player in the draft, but you leave him wide open. He's going to knock down that outside shot in the John Paxson, Steve Kerr mode. He's just not going to miss any wide open 3-point shots. And the other player you asked about, Andrew Nicholson. Andrew Nicholson, this is another guy that's just climbing up draft boards. He's about 6'9". He's a Canadian. He's a rugged ball player, tough, physical, shot blocker, rebounding. He can also score in the low post. The only thing teams are questioning, you know, is competition level playing at St. Bonaventure. But based on what you saw from him at the draft combine last week, he was one of the players that shined. So this is another guy that could had possibly improved his draft stock up to the 15 range. Right now, I have him going 23 to your Atlanta Hawks. And I know you got to be wondering why the Hawks keep drafting forwards. But it just so happens to be when the time for you guys to pick is the forward is the best player on the board.
You got to get it right, Rob, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
But the good thing, real quick, I know we got to wind down the show, but Nicholson is a shot blocker, and that's something the Hawks don't have on their roster. But for those of you all who want to stay tuned for the OT, we can talk a little bit more about the draft, NFL, and join us next week, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern, folks.
Good night, folks. We'll see you next week.
Good night, people.
Now we're definitely in the OT, so let's, you know, we don't have to spend too much time here, but let's talk a little bit about this. Now, I noticed you said that the only shot blocker that we have is a 6'8 guy by the name of Josh Smith. And,
yes.
You know, I don't think that you keep hearing a lot of rumors that he may not be here next year. He wants to be traded. And if that's the case, and, you know, obviously I think it's something that there's definitely going to be a big hole. Our thing is that we need a center, too. So I don't know, why don't you think we'd be looking at a Fab Mello? Now, granted, I keep hearing some things about that, too. But, you know, like I said, best player available on the board. We can go point guard. I mean, we still look at Teague as a guy, too, but we definitely need a lot of different things. We need another scorer. We need definitely a shot blocker. You know, so there's so many things that we can use as a Hawks fan.
Yes, you're right. And the Hawks could go several different options here. I mean, you know, right now I have Nicholson. Look at Tony Roten Jr., a guard from Washington. A point guard might be one of the best athletes for the point guard position in this draft. You know, he didn't quite shine as expected at Washington, but the athleticism and the potential is there. Right now, I have him going 22 to Boston. I think a coach like Doc Rivers can get the most out of him. You know, turn him into a solid pro, especially backing up Rondo. But this is a guy athletically can come in and play in the NBA. There's no doubt about it. I don't think he's a point guard that can overtake Teague, and I really think Jeff Teague is a point guard that would be more suited to being a combo guard off the bench. And that's just my personal opinion based on what I think.
I agree.
I think off the bench as a combo guard, Teague would be great for any team in the NBA. But I think, you know, the Atlanta Hawks need a real floor general to get to the next level. And, you know, I like Al Horford at the center position. He may not be 7 feet, but how many true 7-foot NBA centers are in the NBA today? Al Horford's got long arms, so he can match up with most of the centers in the NBA. I actually like Al Horford at the center position on Atlanta Hawks team. And, you know, he may not be the typical 7-footer that teams are looking for, but like I said, how many legitimate 7-foot centers are there in the NBA today? There's just not many of them. Andrew Bynum, and technically Dwight Howard's not even 7 feet. He's 6'11", but you know he jumps out of the gym, so you might as well say he's 7 feet. But they're just not that many. I mean, the Celtics moved Kevin Garnett to center this season. I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, Garnett was a power forward his whole career. There's just not that many legitimate centers in the NBA like they used to. So, I personally believe the Hawks are fine with Horford. I just think they can use another shot blocker to come in off the bench.
You know, it's pretty interesting, too, because, you know, like I said, for some reason it seems that big men take a while to develop, you know, unless you're Tim Duncan. You just don't have guys coming to the league ready to play. And I don't know if that's just due to the system or what. You know, a lot of guys aren't spending time in college, and it's just an adjustment, I think. So, you know, there aren't a lot of dominant centers, like you said, anymore, too, and it does seem to seem like it's just kind of a smaller man's game, either a point guard or unless you have a dynamic shooting guard or something like that, too. But, you know, I agree with you definitely wholeheartedly about that, too. Being a Hawks fan, you know, I agree with you.
The power forwards have become the dominant big man position in the NBA right now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think point guard, too, if you have definitely a good point guard, too, it's something to come into play. Let's talk about your Hornets here, and this is something interesting, too, because you hear a lot of talk about Austin Rivers being a popular pick for the Hornets. You have New Orleans taking Jeremy Lamb, so what's your thought process behind that, and obviously why don't you think, do you think they're actually looking hard at Austin Rivers, kind of what his ceiling is as an NBA player?
Well, I definitely think they're looking really hard at Austin Rivers. And they had him in here for a workout here last Monday or so down in New Orleans working out. And Monty Williams is really close to the Doc Rivers family. I mean, they played together with the Knicks. They played together with the Spurs. He's been knowing Austin Rivers since he was a kid. So Monty is extremely entrenched and really close with him. So it would not surprise me to see them grab Austin Rivers. I just think, I personally right now, I just think Jeremy Lamb is a better NBA prospect. But I think Jeremy Lamb needs to be pushed. You know, you have to get that fire in him. You got to push him. You got to drive him a little bit. That's the unfortunate part about Jeremy Lamb. But Jeremy Lamb is a wingspan, can come in and be an elite defender in the NBA. And he's probably a guy that can come in and average 12, 13 points a game. You know, he can shoot the three ball well. He can run the floor. And like I said, he's got the length and the wingspan. He always hit his wingspan in the NBA. Well, he's got a wingspan like 7'2", 7'3", and he's only about 6'5". The NBA scouts love those kind of players. And Jeremy Lamb has that. It's just a matter of getting with the right coach that can push him. I think Monty Williams definitely can be that coach. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Hornets go Jeremy Lamb there at 10. It wouldn't surprise me if they go Austin Rivers. And I'll give you another name. It wouldn't surprise me if the Hornets grab Myers Leonard. I don't know how well you know this prospect here. He's 7'1", 250 pounds from Illinois. He's a true, legitimate athletic center that can run the floor, rebound, and block shots. His stock is rising at the Chicago Combine last week. So he can move as high as number 10 in this draft. And one other player I mentioned is a possibility for Hornets at number 10, Damian Lillard, guard from Weber State. Looks like he's clearly the best point guard prospect in this draft. You know, most NBA scouts wanted to see. He had the handles to run the team. He's a great jump shooter, great penetrator, great athlete as well. He's only about 6'2", but most people wondered if he could be a true legitimate point guard. And I think based on the Chicago Combine last week, he's proven that. But I have Lillard right now going number 7 to Golden State. And he could go as high as number 6 to Portland or as low as number 11 to Portland. So he'll be somewhere picked in that range.
Gotcha. Good analysis as always, Robin. I know I always give you a hard time, but I'm definitely impressed with your solid, impressive depth of knowledge as far as these prospects. And I think we talked about earlier whenever you were talking about Jeremy Lamb and just about I've had a lot of people say that it's tougher to teach playing hard than to have somebody that you have an athlete that just wows you. I mean, kind of similar to a DeMarcus Cousins or something like that. You got guys that are extremely talented. They don't want to play hard. But if you're able to add a player that just already has that in them, that's about, you know, working hard work, and then adding that level of talent, that makes them, you know, obviously superstars or maybe not superstars, but kind of a player that you can definitely get the most out of. And a lot of these players that's maybe that's why Jeremy's kind of falling a little bit, that he has all this talent, but you know, you definitely want to make sure that he's not a coach killer, that he wants to play hard and actually add something to the team too. So, you know, hopefully, as mentioned, this guy, he'll, you know, like you said, if he gets the right coach, it kind of gets him going and kind of motivates him, he can actually be a solid player, or even be a potential to be a pretty special player in the NBA.
I think when you talk about Jeremy Lamb here, you're going to have some teams that are going to be scared by him. Yeah. There's always going to be a few teams that say this guy is a can't-miss prospect. We can coach him up. And so I think you see that in football, too. You have a prospect that he doesn't have the motor. But, you know, certain organizations feel like, hey, well, if he comes here, we got the right leadership in our locker room that can push him. And so I think, you know, sometimes a player like that, you know, you put him in the right situation, you can get the most out of him.
Yeah, same thing. You put him around a team with, like, a lot of veterans as well, kind of push him and kind of make sure that this guy's keeping, you know, his head is on straight. A strong locker room can definitely help him to develop into a player, like you said, can kind of be special. One more player I want to mention that we've got in the lottery here is Deion Walters, the guard from Syracuse. And if you've been watching the combine, it seems like he's kind of shut it down and kind of left the draft out of Chicago. I think we saw some rumors as far as some teams making promises to him. But tell us a little about this guy. He may be kind of an unknown guy as far as the West Coast even, but tell us your thoughts about this guy. And we get ready to wrap up the OT. We got about 4 minutes or so left as we get ready to wrap up the OT.
Yeah, Deion Waiters from Syracuse. This is a guy that's another one.
Waiters.
When this draft prospect draft analysis started, he was probably going to be picked somewhere in the 20s. But I think he has been impressive in most of his individual workouts. And he is really flying. He's a guy that can get to the basket with ease. He can create his own shot with ease. A solid defender, pretty good jump shooter. Most speculation is that Toronto is the team that has made a promise to him at number 8. But there's also rumors that Toronto's looking to trade that pick, too. Right now, I have him going number 9 to Detroit. I think Detroit is a team that can use somebody athletic on the perimeter. I don't know how well you've been following Greg Monroe the last few years, but this guy is really becoming a star for the Detroit Pistons. He's getting better and better. They moved him to the center position. Greg Monroe is, once again, another one of these guys that's 6'10", 6'11", does not a seven-footer, but he's athletic. He can shoot from the outside and post up, and you get a great perimeter player to go with him like Deion Waiters, and you're starting to build something there in Detroit and trying to get that franchise back up to where it was in the early 2000s, you know, around the time they won a title in 04 with some good young prospects. But, you know, I don't know if it's Toronto. Right now I have them going number 9 to Detroit, so we'll kind of see where it is. But a lot of speculation is Toronto is the team that supposedly has a promise for Deion Waiters.
Good deal as well. Did we talk a little bit about Andre Drummond as well? I mean, he's even kind of being left out. We've been not showing him any love. Oh, man.
Well,
I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Andre Drummond is a legitimate center. He's 6'11", 275 pounds. He's a big man with a lot of upside. I tell you what, I have him going number 5 to Sacramento right now. And you put Drummond and Cousins, I mean, they have an opportunity to form a pretty imposing front line there in Sacramento. You know, you got Tyreek Evans, you got Marcus Thornton out there on the perimeter already. But there's also some speculation about this pick that may be traded as well. There's some talk that Chicago, that Sacramento may trade Tyreek Evans in an unfit pick to Chicago for Joakim Noah in the 25th pick. So that would be pretty interesting as well. Right now, as it stands right now, I have Andre Drummond going to Sacramento. And this is another guy that has all the upside in the world, but you just didn't see him having a high motor when you watch his games. So this is another guy that you're going to be looking for, you know, an organization that can really push him to get the most out of him. But the potential is there. He's big and he's athletic. So he's not one of these 6'11", 275-pound stiffs. This guy can run the floor like a deer.
Mm. Wow. Good stuff, Rob. I mean, like I said, you know, very impressed with your knowledge of the game. And I think we were talking about this as well, too. And this is something that we'll definitely have to touch base on for those that are listening to us in the OC. We appreciate that. Once again, check us out, Facebook, all that fun stuff. And we were talking about foreign players because there's a nice little special on the original Dream Team, which is obviously a team that was put together in 1992, and we'll talk about that next week. And there's not a lot of foreign players this year, it seems like, going in the draft. And I don't know if that should be the fact that there's just not as much talent. And as we wrap up the show, OT, what are your thoughts on this? We've got 2 minutes, Rob, and we'll wrap up. We'll see everyone next week.
Well, there's a couple of things here. There are still some pretty good players out there in these foreign countries. I mean, right now there's a European draft combine taking place in Italy right now, where most NBA general managers are right now evaluating talent. There's a guy from France, Evan Fournier. He's probably got the best chance of sneaking into the first round out of anybody from overseas. Now, you're going to see about 10 to 12 guys, foreigners, that's going to get picked in the second round. But this year, you just don't have any elite prospects that's going to come into the first round. Maybe Evan Fournier, but like I said, he'll be a late first rounder, even if he does make it in the first round. He's about a 6'7 shooting guard, and he's got a high basketball IQ, and he's pretty athletic for a European guy as well. But more than likely, if he does crack the first round, it'll be the latter part of the first round. I think there's a couple of things. I think the players have gotten better here in the United States here in the last few years, too. If you notice, you know, you got Kevin Durant, LeBron James, probably two best players in the game right here from, you know, here in the States. So I think, you know, with AAU basketball, we have the opportunity train these guys year round here in the States. And at one point, it was looking like a lot of Europeans were starting to take over, but it looks like we have now stepped it up here in the States again. And look, just seems that we're producing the better players and the better athletes.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, once again, we want to thank you guys for tuning in to Talk Sports 12 Man. We'll see you guys next week. Rob, you got any last thing to say as we wrap up the show?
Next Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, folks, 8 p.m. Pacific. Next week, good night, people.
Good night. Thank you for tuning in. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, all the fun stuff. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Good night.
Good night, people.